Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Justice Channel on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am Ernest L. Moore, the host and the creator of the Justice Channel. The Justice Channel is anti-fascist propaganda media. We bring you the stories and issues that the mainstream media does not cover. Today is Saturday, April 24th, in the year 2021. I am in downtown Los Angeles. I consider it to be ground zero as far as Los Angeles corruption is concerned. Things are starting to open up again here. They've started to lift some of the COVID restrictions. I forgot what tier we're in, orange or pink or something like that. But restaurants are starting to open up. Businesses are starting to open up. It's pretty bustling today, downtown LA, and especially in the restaurants. A lot of activity, which is good. I see a lot of restaurants have closed. A lot of businesses have just closed and gone out of business, which is very disturbing to me. Los Angeles continues to be, if not the most, one of the most corrupt cities in this country. And it's still racist against Black Americans. They act like they've come so far and that it's just no racism anymore against Black Americans, but this is a racist city. This episode will be the third installment in my series of reports on corruption in the Los Angeles probate courts. My focus for this series will be the Sheriff's Department's conspiracy with the courts and judges to cover up their crimes. The Derek Chauvin murder trial of George Floyd that I reported on last week is an excellent example of how corrupt and racist the courts are. As I stated last week, if Derek Chauvin gets convicted, he will only get a light sentence. This is beginning to play out now. They are reporting that he will only get sentenced for one of the three criminal counts. This one is supposed to get 40 years, but they are talking about giving him only 11 years. And that was just basically how I gave two scenarios of how this case is going to play out. If he gets convicted, I'm pretty sure he's going to get a light sentence. They're already throwing out bits and pieces of that so far. From what I understand, his sentencing date won't be until June. And they're already saying, well, he got convicted on three counts, but he can only be charged with one count. And I think that's just manslaughter. And they say, well, normally it's 40 years, but since he doesn't have a criminal record, he can only get 11 or 12 years or something like that. And then lo and behold, they find out, oh, well, he was, there was a complained about him doing the same thing, kneeling on the neck of another black man, I don't know how many years ago, and they didn't do anything about it. So they're thinking about charging him. Now, how come this didn't come out at the trial? You have a prosecutor there that's getting paid big bucks. He's the first thing he should have done was look up the complaint record on Derek Chauvin, and that should have been an issue at the during the trial. For some reason, they seem to just forget about that, which again shows how sloppy this whole case was, and that the court is actually trying to protect him. Now, the crime bill that, or the it's the police reform bill, I think the name is, that they're trying to pass through Congress, is only focused on police procedures and et cetera, et cetera. I think they're trying to do a ban on chokeholds and no-knock warrants, which it's a little late for that. And why does it have to take this long for those changes? But that's not enough. That's not nearly enough. And they're not saying anything about the courts, because that's where the real further racism for me. That's institutionalized racism. They're calling it systemic, endemic, systemic, institutionalized racism. And that's propagated through the courts that protect these cops. Now, they're also talking about eliminating the qualified immunity, which will help you sue the cops. I don't know how that'll play out. That will help. That's the other problem with these situations, is that now if a cop does get charged, taxpayers have to pay for his lawyers to defend him, and you can't sue them directly. You can sue what you can sue with the police department, and if you do win that suit, like in the case with George Floyd, I think they won like $23-24 million or something like that. I figured they would get, they gave him that big settlement or that judgment for that civil case to help keep him quiet, so they would accept this dog and pony criminal trial show. Now, but the problem with that is that if you do win a lawsuit against the police department, taxpayers have to pay it. You can't go after the estate of the cops involved. That needs to be changed. Also, another thing they don't tell you is that when you do sue, at least in Los Angeles, because I'm trying to sue the sheriff's department and LAPD, is that you can't get punitive damages. You can only get damages that you could prove. That's why many lawyers will not take a case, especially now I've talked to several lawyers, especially my cases, because you can't show damages. In other words, the cases that they like is a dead Negro. Is if you got a dead Negro, then we can sue for $1 million, $2 million, something. Usually in the past, they just give you $1 million if you get that. And if the lawyer takes your case on a contingency basis, then he gets like 40% of the case. So you might end up with $500,000 or something like that. So you can't get punitive damages, which you should be able to get, and the taxpayers have to pay for that. Now, that needs to change also. There needs to be several reforms for the judicial system to protect citizens that have been violated by the police. And it's not just Black Americans. If they'll do that to Black Americans, they'll do that to white Americans, Hispanics, Asians, other whites, whoever they want to. Because essentially they're above the law. And that's what the police act like. And that's what this part of what this show, this program is about tonight. How police corruption plays into probate court corruption. The other thing that I noticed now is that, well, essentially to move on from the George Floyd situation, and again, that was very disturbing for me afterwards, listening to a lot of these so-called conservative talk radio shows during the week, they had all of these white people calling in saying that they felt that it was an unjust verdict and what are we going to do? Police are not going to be able to enforce the law and they're worried about what Negroes are going to do and blah, blah, blah. And these talk show hosts are saying that it was an unjust verdict. And they keep saying there is no racism in the police departments. It's like we're just imagining it or exaggerating it. And they try to blame it on the Democrats. That's very disturbing to me. And, of course, Larry Elder is going on and on. Oh, there's no racism. There's no racism in the police. And he's trying to say there's no racism in this country. On and on. It's just really disgusting to me. Larry Elder should not be on the radio. So to me, what the whole situation sums up to me is that there is no justice in this country. It's just us. And that's what I have to say right now for the George Floyd situation. I will do another program maybe in June after he gets sentenced, and I will be watching how this develops. I did see today on the internet an article about how there were, this is on Yahoo News. There's an article here titled One Verdict in Six Police Killings Across America in 24 Hours. I posted it on the Justice Channel page on Facebook, but it's a very disturbing situation that we are faced with here in America. And it's an ongoing problem. I will have more shows about this in the future. The next thing I want to talk about a little bit is that I heard Obama talking about, this is Barack Obama, the former president, saying that, well, he's advising Black Americans to get COVID vaccination. And he compared it to the trials, the medical experiments that they had in Tuskegee. They made a movie about that. But if I heard correctly, the very disturbing part is that he's saying, oh, well, go out and get the COVID vaccination. It's not going to do anything to you because in the Tuskegee experiments, it wasn't that they withheld the vaccination, it's that they gave them the vaccination. And if that's what he was saying, I'm still trying to find that audio clip somewhere on the internet. I haven't been able to find it yet. But That's a flat-out lie. That's not what happened in the Tuskegee experiments. What happened in the Tuskegee experiments is that they inoculated specifically Black Americans, and I think most of them were in the military, with syphilis. And they did not give them, all they had to do was give them, I think, penicillin. I think is the treatment for syphilis. But there was a cure for it at that time. But they wanted to see what would happen in a long-term experiment when people are contract syphilis. And basically, they did not give them any treatment. And they were going into what is like tertiary syphilis, which is fatal. And the Army was withholding treatment for them. Actually, all they needed was syphilis right off the bat, and they would have been cured. And it's more lethal because they gave it to them in injection. When you get it through sex, then you have, I think you get lesions on your genitals or something like that that are painful, that'll take you to the doctor, and he'll see that right away, and you get treated when it's in the primary stages. But they let it go all the way, and these people die. And then infected, it wasn't just, in the movie it made it seem like it was just two or three Negroes, but there was, I think, thousands, if I understand correctly, that were given syphilis. So my advice to Black Americans, do not trust that black devil, Uncle Tom, dirty Uncle Tom, Sambo, idiot, lying, jigaboo, Obama. In fact, I refuse to take that vaccine. I don't trust this government, period. I don't trust Obama. I never will now. I don't trust Biden. And I don't trust Kamala Harris. So that is another disturbing situation that we're faced with here in this country. And it actually affects all Americans, not just Black Americans, but I wouldn't trust nothing Obama says. I would have written an article about this particular show, the topic, so that people could see, actually, and post more evidence that people could review on my blog. But we have been busy building websites. I did start a website for the Justice Channel. That is TJCLA.com website. Been busy building that website. I'm having problems with the hosting company. So we may change hosting companies, so the site might go down. Right now, it's basically under construction, so we really haven't technically released the site yet. But I do plan to start producing more videos and more other media, including the radio show, in the near future. Now I go on to the subject of this particular program, and that is my experiences with the sheriff deputies in the superior courts, even in the criminal courts here in Los Angeles, which ties into the situation with the Derek Chauvin trial. And to show that the police are just totally corrupt in this country. We're living in a fascist police state. And not only the police are corrupt here in Los Angeles, I think it's the same in most other states, but the media, the network, big time corporate media, helps to cover up their crimes also. That's what I'm going to cover tonight. And actually give some specific examples. One is that fact, I've been making reports to the LA County Sheriff's Department about the corruption in my probate case for years, like almost like 10 years. And they will not take a police report, and they won't even accept a citizen's arrest. Now, at this time, I'm still licensed as a security guard. And I have to, in California, the exam to get licensed is on powers of arrest. So I know my powers of arrest, and for the police to refuse my arrest when there are felony crimes going down right in front of them is a felony. They don't want to accept that. They think they're there to protect the judge, dirty judges and dirty lawyers in that courtroom. And if you try to arrest them, they're going to arrest you. And especially if you try to arrest the other cops, I want to arrest the other police. In fact, I've sent proposals to LA County Board of Supervisors that I want to, since they have defunded the police partially in Los Angeles, including the sheriff's deputies that are supposed to be over the county and the city, the LAPD, I want those funds to go for specialized law enforcement for Black Americans, which I call LA BAM. That's a Black American Militia Law Enforcement Agency. And to start, I want my agency to police the police. Their internal affairs is a joke. We can straighten these police out. We don't have to abolish the police. We can straighten these police out. And it's obvious in Los Angeles, their hiring practices are totally racist. There's hardly any Black Americans in the police. And they say, well, it's because our population is so low. And nobody is saying, well, why is the population dwindling in Los Angeles? When we used to, Black Americans, especially in the city of Los Angeles, used to be 80-something percent, and now we're down to 12%. What kind of sense does that make? But I want a specialized law enforcement agency and enforce all law. And that includes the courts and judges, et cetera, et cetera. And we need a special prosecutor. That's the other kick in the shin, is that now even if you make an arrest, you got to have a prosecutor to prosecute. And that's what I'm going to go into that tonight also a little bit and more in another show, because I've been to the district attorney directly. I've been to Jackie Lacey and confronted her about the corruption in this probate situation and giving them, she sent me to a deputy and gave her detailed report. They wouldn't do nothing about it. Same thing with attorney. Well, the city attorney, at first they wouldn't do anything about it, but I found one lady, deputy city attorney, that was over the real estate department. This was several years ago. Her name was Annika Cole. I know she has been running for judge a few times in the past. I don't know if she's a judge now or not. But they said, well, we're going to file criminal charges. And I talked to my supervisor. They reviewed everything and said, yeah, this is criminal. And they said they were going to file criminal charges. Weeks passed, and I came back to see her, and she said, yeah, these are felonies. And we're going to send this over to the district attorney's office. So I said, okay. And weeks go by, weeks and months go by, and nothing from the district attorney's office. And then I started contacting them directly. And that's just another nightmare that I've had to deal with. And I'm probably going to concentrate on that on another show. And I've been to the LA County Board of Supervisors about them. I did produce a video, a protest that we did. I think one of the factions of Black Lives Matter that I did I recorded a video of a protest in front of her office to get her to do her job, basically. I never liked Jackie Lacey from the beginning. But This show is going to focus on the Sheriff's Department, these bunch of idiots. I have been, again, to them over and over and over. I've tried to do citizens' arrests, especially of one idiot lawyer, Samuel Ingham, who used to be the lawyer for Britney Spears. From what I understand, Britney Spears had fired him, did not like him. I don't know all the details of what happened with the interaction between her and Samuel Ingham. I would like to get more details, actually from Britney Spears or from the Britney Spears camp about what they experienced with Samuel Ingham. But he's just a rat. He's what they call a court-appointed PVP attorney. That is a volunteer panel attorney in the probate court. When you have a conservatorship, they appoint a lawyer for the conservatee, which at that time was actually my mother. And this rat and it's nothing volunteer about a PVP attorney, because if you got anything in your estate, then they charge your estate. And he didn't do nothing to protect my mother or her estate. He didn't even talk to her. I reported to him that there was all kinds of stuff, abuses going on, et cetera, et cetera. And he even allowed the case to be, the conservatorship to be transferred to Georgia after I got my sister removed as trustee for criminal malfeasance. And he reported to the Georgia probate court that she was in good standing and that it was in her best interest to transfer the conservatorship over to Georgia. That was Ingham. And I tried to arrest him in the hallway of the courtroom. And the sheriff deputies wouldn't do nothing about it, won't take a police report, still have not taken a police report. And these are crimes, basically. These are felony crimes. And they keep saying, well, this is civil court, this is not criminal court. But to give you a graphic example, I had contact, I made a complaint against the sheriff's deputy that was in my probate case. He's not in that department now. He was in Department 11. This actually was a black sheriff's deputies, and they're some of the worst. Charles R. G., I think it is. A black man with the last name of G, G-E-E. That was his name, or that is his name. So when I've seen him still walking around the courtroom, a real idiot. So I had filed a complaint against him. Actually, I filed several complaints. I hope I'll have time to get to it tonight. And I think it was the supervisor or one of the sheriffs that's over the sheriff's department in that court building had contacted me. So we had arranged an interview for one day. This was actually back in 2017. And this has continued since then. And I recorded it. So I have the audio of this complaint that I made to this officer, Fitzgerald, I think his name was. And I'm going to play that for you now so you'll get a sense of the kind of idiot sheriff deputies that they've got in the L.A. Superior Courts and what I've been going through. After I play this audio clip, if I have some callers, I'll go to the callers. If not, we will continue on. But here is my clip of the complaint interview that I had with this sheriff's deputy.
Okay.
Are we live?
Yes, we are.
Okay, 1 second.
Is this Sergeant Fitzgerald?
Hold on a second. Okay, this is Sergeant Fitzgerald. Today's date is 8/25/2017. Timer now is 9:18, and I'm on the phone, I guess, with Mr. Moore, correct?
Yes. I didn't, you're kind of breaking up. What was his name again?
Chris Herrera. H-E-R-R-A-R-A.
Okay, Herrera.
And I advised him of your situation, and he said he's actually anticipating you coming in. He's going to walk through the process, and there he's going to facilitate the contacting that you're going to have to contact, which is the Commission of Judicial Performance. And from there, he will guide you as to the process of, I told him that you were unsatisfied and the accusations that, you know, that you made against the actions in the court proceedings with, according to you, the judge and the attorney. You had asked that a police report be taken, and I had told you that the bailiff wouldn't write a report based on the fact that it's a civil matter. And he just wouldn't do that. And I would instruct him not to do that, of course, but the sheriffs wouldn't write a report, writing the judge and or an attorney as a suspect in a civil matter based on your perception, which I'm not here to negate or to promote. You would know better the inner workings of your case. We wouldn't. But like I said to you, the best avenue for you in order to move forward and get justice, if that's what you're looking for, is stating your case to the Commission of Judicial Performance, and that's a state entity that handles these type of concerns and questions and accusations.
Well, first of all, I'm very aware of the Commission on Judicial Performance, and basically they just look at the judge's performance. I'm saying that these attorneys are doing are criminal, have done are criminal, as well as some of the litigants in this case. And I have evidence of that. And now, how can you tell me that this is not criminal when you haven't even investigated yet?
Well, let me say this to you. If you're looking for a criminal case, then the other thing is, you're saying that this is, it's, I'm trying to explain to you, it's not a criminal case. It's not a criminal case, court proceedings in a civil matter. Did you understand that?
Yeah, I understand that this is a civil probate case, but what's going on in this case is criminal. And it has been criminal for over 10 years now.
Okay, where do you live?
I live in Los Angeles. To do is take a report. If he will not accept my citizen's arrest again, which is a felony because crimes have been committed right in front of his face. Now, if a crime has been committed and maybe he didn't see it, I could see why the sheriffs would refuse because of liability. But this has been going on for years now. He's been the bailiff on this case for years. This case has been in Department 11 for over 10 years. All of them are aware of the criminality which is going on in this case.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Moore. Where do you live, first of all? Let me ask you that.
This case involves my mother's estate. We have commercial properties. There's liquid assets that are spread out in several cities.
Okay.
But the court the probate court has jurisdiction in Los Angeles, and the crimes are being allowed and covered up by the judge there in Los Angeles at the Stanley Moss Courthouse.
Right. So what you're asking bailiff, you're expecting or you're asking that bailiff G initiate a very lengthy investigation? That's not the job description of a court deputy, is what I'm trying to explain to you.
I understand that. All he has to do is take a report and give it to the proper people in the sheriff's department to investigate.
The sheriffs won't investigate if it's not in their jurisdiction, first of all, and he wouldn't be obligated to write that report. The first thing anybody, myself included, a sergeant, is telling you that I'm trying to obtain where you live to tell you, if you want to make a report on these actions that led to a court case, you have to start at where these crimes occurred, not in a subsequent court case.
The crimes are occurring right there in the Stanley Moss Courthouse.
And what crimes are we talking about, sir?
Well, I can give you a full list. It's very extensive. We're talking about elder abuse. We're talking about felony elder abuse.
Okay.
We're talking about embezzlement. We're talking about perjury. We're talking about grand theft.
You just said perjury. That means you're expecting that bailiff to know the inner workings of the court case in order to say that person perjured himself. They're not going to do that based on your opinion. It's a he said, she said in a court trial, probate court trial. You're asking a bailiff. You're thinking a bailiff's going to write a report. That's not going to happen. I'm trying to tell you that if you give me your address, I will tell you what police agency would handle the elder abuse case. That's what you need to do. If your case is legitimate, which you believe it is, and I have no reason not to believe it is, then you have to contact the local police agency so they can start an investigation. That's not going to start at the bailiff's level at the Stanley Moss Court. We don't have an investigative unit in our bureau. It just doesn't work that way. The bailiff's sole purpose is to provide security for that courtroom. Protect you, protect the judge, protect the people in the stand. That's it. He doesn't get into writing reports on based on litigants who say that they're lying and he's telling the truth. And they don't do that. That's not the job description. And you're stuck on the fact that you want Deputy G or any bailiff to write a report. And I'm trying to explain to you, it doesn't work that way.
So you're telling me the entire sheriff's department doesn't have investigators?
I'm telling you, they're not jurisdictional.
It's what?
Whatever initiated this probate, it starts there at 123 Main Street. If your mom lives at this address and someone's stealing money from her,
I'm saying, and I have the evidence to back it up, it's originating right there in Stanley Moss Courthouse where you are supposedly under your watch.
That's not where it started. It started at where your mom resides and where the buildings and the properties are. The end result where this was deemed to go to court was at Stanley Moss by happenstance. That's nothing to do with the original criminal or civil activity. I don't know why. I'm a little confused as to why you're so hesitant about initiating a police report, a unit that's going to be able to investigate whether it is a sheriff's or PD, police, LAPD, who has a full-time unit at that station that would pick up this ball and run with it if you're saying these crimes occurred. It doesn't start at the bailiff level at Stanley Moss Court. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I have numbers here for you. I have the judicial review, if you want that. What else do I have here for you?
I've got that.
So you have the right, entities, but it's not going to all start from a bailiff writing a report.
Okay.
Do you understand that? That's what I'm trying to help you with. And if you give me your address, I'll tell you what police agency handles it. Do you know what police agency is in your jurisdiction?
Yeah, I know the police agency is in my jurisdiction.
Who is it?
Now,
is it LAPD or is it only sheriffs? Just by curiosity.
Both.
It's both? Yeah.
Now, can you tell me, Deputy G, what's his first name?
I don't have that record in front of me, to be honest with you.
Okay. Because I'm just kind of curious because I do not know too many black Americans by the name of G. I'm a black American.
Okay.
My family's black American, and I don't think I've ever met a black American by the name of G. G-E-E.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is this race material at this point? The race of the bailiff?
Well, I'm just trying to get his full identity if possible. All I have is his last name. I don't have his first name, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't have it in front of me. My name is Sergeant Regan Fitzgerald, and I know I'm giving my first and last name. I'm just reading this report, quite honestly, and I'm new to this court, and I only met him yesterday based on reading this this email, and I went and spoke with Deputy G-E-E.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm your point of contact for first name and last name. Should you think that anyone's trying to conceal their true identity of the bailiff in that courtroom, that's not the case here.
Right.
I just
don't
have his first name in front of me.
Because
his name is G.
My complaint.
I don't know if he's the only African American by the name of G. I couldn't tell you. Quite honestly, I don't really see the relevance of his race.
Well, what I'm saying is that my complaint was against this Deputy G. I'm trying to get all the identification on him that I know I can, because I know how the police operate, and if this ever does go to trial and criminal charges are filed, I know they switch officers out and they change names, et cetera, et cetera. I'm trying to get all the identity on this so-called sheriff deputies that I can, not just his race, his name, how long he's been working for the sheriff's department, blah, blah, blah.
Got it. Yeah, I don't have that in front of me, but I tell you what, I'm your guy. I'm the sergeant here in operations. I'm the one telling you that G's not going to write a report. That's what I'm trying to say. So you don't have to put it on Deputy G, because he would be instructed not to write a report, because I would instruct him not to write a report based on these circumstances. So you can say per me, Sergeant Fitzgerald, that I am instructing Deputy G to not write a report, but I'm trying to help you facilitate your complaint and giving you the right associations and companies and groups to go forward with. That's going to be your best bet. I mean, you know, hinging at all on a report written by Deputy G that he's not going to write is only going to delay your issues, I guess. You know, if that makes sense.
Okay, now, so I asked you to give me this in writing. You say you refuse, so I am recording this. I have been recording this.
No, I have no problem. I didn't say I refuse. I said I wouldn't have any avenue to put in writing to you. I mean, this, you got my word here telling you that I would tell you not to, the Deputy G would not write a report. You want to write you a letter telling you that? Would that make you feel better? Or, hey, you got an email address here, right?
Well, I assume you're following up on my complaint about a sheriff's deputies from your website, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm calling you.
Don't you provide a written response to show that you investigated and that you talked to me and
yeah, I'll do follow-up. Yeah, I actually will do follow-up.
Okay.
I have to.
That's all I ask.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, you just got the answer. Absolutely. I'm telling you that I will put in my report that I advised you of the proper channels to pursue, that I instructed the deputy not to write a report based on the fact that we don't get involved in civil matters, we don't write reports on civil matters, and we don't interfere with the court proceedings. And furthermore, the deputy provides security for you, for the other attorneys and the judge and the people in the stands. And he doesn't have the capability of looking into your case and looking at the originations of the case and seeing whether there's any merit to it. I further advised you that you need to contact your local police agency, the Yeah. We have no problem doing it.
Please.
Would you like me to do that for you?
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. But I would suggest, Mr. Moore, that you do move forward with contacting the other agencies I told you to, because that's going to be your best bet. You know?
Okay, I will.
Okay. And, hey, let me confirm your email for you.
All right.
B-R-N-E-S-T-I-M-2-K.
No, that's L-M-2-K.
L-M, okay, okay.
L is in there.
L-M, small L, small M, 2-K, at gmail.com.
And that was an example of the kind of idiots, sheriff deputies, that they have in the Los Angeles Superior Courts and in the criminal courts. Basically, what you heard there is this particular officer refusing to do anything about my complaints about criminal crime. These are felony crimes going down right there in the courts. Refusing to even take a police report. If you know, if you remember, he was saying, he kept trying to basically just give me the runaround, telling me, oh, I need to go to other agencies like LAPD and blah, blah, blah. And then he kept, when the LA County Sheriffs have jurisdiction over this, it's right in the courtrooms. And he's trying to tell me that I don't, they don't have jurisdiction. All they're there to do is the security. And that they can't investigate anything. And so I'm saying, well, all you got to do is take a police report and give it to the investigators in the sheriff's department. Or if you don't have any, which is a lie, you give it to the district attorney's office, and they're supposed to investigate. He must think I'm as stupid as Mark Riley Thomas. And then he's saying, well, you need to go to other jurisdictions like LAPD, blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't think I told him in this particular interview, I have been to LAPD. I made a bunch of complaints to LAPD. I've been to the city attorney. And I'm going to do another show just on LAPD and what I've experienced with LAPD, because that goes back like 20 years. LAPD doesn't do nothing. Basically, all you see is these high-profile situations on TV, and they're chasing a car, or they shoot somebody, usually Black American or maybe Hispanic, and it makes it look like, oh, they're out busy all the time. They don't do nothing. I am a licensed security guard. For 20 years, they will not accept a citizen's arrest from me. I've never been able to make a citizen's arrest. Especially of a police officer, and I've demanded to make citizens arrest of the police department. That's why I want that funding that they're taking away from LAPD for my law enforcement agency, specialized agency for Black Americans. There needs to be more Black Americans on both police forces here in Los Angeles, hands down. And if you can't find enough Negroes, then you need to import them from other states in this country, not just from Africa. And that's going to be a subject of another show. I've also been to Karen Bass about LAPD and why, about their racist hiring practices. In fact, I did a video interview with her, and she said straight out, well, the reason why there's not so many Black Americans on LAPD is because most Blacks have criminal records. That's what she said. But that's going to be the subject for another show. And let me get back to this idiot sheriff here trying to tell me, blow smoke in my ear, telling me they don't have jurisdiction and they can't take a police report. And he even said that he told him not to take a police report, not to accept my citizen's arrest, and that he's going to take full responsibility for it. And I've been to the district attorney's office about this, specifically when Jackie Lacey was in office. I haven't been to the new district attorney, Gascon, yet. I've been to the LA County Board of Supervisors about this. And I've been to the, they have a police commission, the Citizens Oversight Commission for the Sheriff's Department. I've been active with them actually up until the COVID hit. But I've been to a bunch of their meetings. I've filed complaints with them. I've been to their, they have a district attorney there, a former deputy district attorney that supposedly handles the investigations. I've given him reports directly. I've done many comments to them. That'll probably be the subject of another show. And there's a lot of hoo-ha going around in that so-called Citizens Oversight Commission. And they are now, there's a, one of the issues is that they don't, the commission doesn't actually get involved in enforcement over the sheriff's deputies. They just listen to the public, and there's a lot, you go to those meetings, there's a lot that's going down that the media doesn't pick up on. But they basically listen to the public, and they write reports to the LA County Board of Supervisors, and the supervisors are supposed to be taking some kind of action. I haven't seen much yet. The LA County Sheriff's Department is totally corrupt. They even admitted that. They don't like this new sheriff, Villanueva, whatever he is. He's totally corrupt, just pathetic. And they can't get him out of office. And they can't take him to jail. He needs to go to jail. He's part of Mexican gangs. You should hear, I remember one person came in one day and he talked about all of the Hispanic gangs in the sheriff's department. They're recruiting these legal and illegal alien Hispanics off the streets, gang members, and making them sheriff's deputies. And they continue their gangs within the sheriff's department. And there's a bunch of gangs. I haven't heard no one mention anything about black gangs in the sheriff's department. No one's talking about that. The media doesn't pick up on that. And when the network TV stations come to these commission meetings, I have confronted several of them about reporting on the crimes that I've experienced with sheriff deputies. They won't publish anything about it. Won't interview me, nothing. But that'll be another show, focus of another show. So this idiot sheriff's deputy basically doesn't do nothing, hasn't done nothing, and I've filed a bunch of complaints since then. They've contacted me since then, and nothing. The idiot sheriff deputies are still there. The judges are still running around, haven't missed a paycheck. I've had my inheritance just ravaged and wasted. And there's all kinds of violations going on there. So that should give you a pretty good picture of what Los Angeles and the superior courts look like and how they operate here in Los Angeles. It's just totally corrupt. And it's an insult to our intelligence. Our tax dollars are paying for this. Our tax dollars are paying for these dirty judges, et cetera, et cetera. And we have no power to take any actions, basically. Now, they say, well, you should get involved in the government and you should run for office, et cetera, to make some changes, which I plan to do. I think it's futile because these elections are totally corrupt. That'll be the subject of another show that's coming up. But I'm going to run for office. Specifically, I want to run for mayor of Los Angeles. so that I will have some if I get elected. That'll be, yeah, that will be interesting. That'll be interesting campaign. One of the problems that the media doesn't give much cover to the or exposure to the candidates that are running. But I have about 60 seconds left in the show today. It looks like that is it for the show. And I hope somebody will call in maybe next week. I will be doing the shows every Saturday, usually at 9 p.m. I post the notices on Facebook. I will start doing it earlier to let people know what I will be covering during the show. Looks like nobody's in the chat. And that is it for tonight. Please tune in again next week.
You can see my upcoming show schedule from my Blog Talk Radio show page, as well as listen to past show archives from my TJC show page on Blog Talk Radio. The Justice Channel is also on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/ELMN2000. And I blog at www.thejusticechannel.blogspot.com.
Own it, truth be told. Yourself is your toughest opponent. When your moment comes, grab hold and own it. Never let go, stand tall and hold tight. Overcoming obstacles is the objective in life. Doubt is overnight, and after then you shine bright. Cause inside your head, on goes the light. Ignite. Plant the intuition upon the stars in the night that glisten. To you, they listen to me, you send it a wishing. When your time comes, don't postpone it. When others doubt and out, you don't condone it. Truth be told. Yourself is your toughest opponent. When your moment comes, grab hold and own it. Never let go, stand tall and hold tight. Overcoming obstacles is the objective in life. Doubt is overnight, and after then you shine bright. Cause inside your head, on goes the light. Ignite. Plant the intuition upon the stars in the night that glisten. To you, they listen to me, you send it a wishing. Listen, do your own math and learn from the steps that you are missing. Create your own path with your own vision.